to Pop Culture Failure.
Pop Culture Failure!
From our youth and see how it stands up. I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And we're watching Animorphs.
We sure are.
What's this one called?
The Leader. Something Part 2.
The Leader.
The Leader Part 2.
If you're just joining us this week without having listened to last week or getting caught up on this season, why would you? But Jake and Marco got trapped in a rocket box and got sent up to space, and the girls stayed behind because
they wander around a factory.
Because reason they got locked out of a door, and while they screamed and kicked the door, it wasn't enough to get through the door because they didn't actually try the knob.
And maybe I missed it, but seemingly they had an escape plan last episode and they don't use it to escape this episode.
I'm not 100% sure what happened in this episode, so
me either.
It was a bit unclear. But yeah, so I guess we're caught up now.
So we get a real long recap of what happened last time. We don't see any of the fun stuff like Marco and his dad kiss.
Remember the big deal about the morphing sensors? They don't really, like, they mention them briefly in this episode, but they don't do anything to counteract them. And I bet we don't see them again.
Yeah.
You know.
In the book, do they, like, take care of some that so it doesn't...
In the book, they didn't have morph sensors.
Oh.
In the episode where they meet Marco's mom... episode in the book where they get like X wants to go home, so he builds a distress beacon, and then some bug ships show up, and then they get shanghaied because it was an older code, just like in Star Wars.
It's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
Right, but it didn't, so they got abducted, and the Vessor 1 just kind of let them escape to make V3 look bad.
Oh.
And then the thing that the escape pods exploded, leaving no evidence behind, so they couldn't use them for evidence. This one doesn't super follow that plan.
I think a few of the words you used might apply to this, like...
spaceship.
And Visor 3.
Visor 1's in it, too.
And Axe, but only for a second.
Yeah. Tobias is not present.
Because birds don't do good in space.
You know, what's funny is in the opening, like, we get to see the Dracon beams firing, and there's beams coming out. Yeah, they're coming out at weird angles, but that's fine. There's still an animated beam.
Yeah, and I guess we've seen that in the show, that it's canon that they make a beam.
Yep.
But not in this episode.
I have an idea for it, but we'll discuss it when we get there. So, when the show finally starts...
8 minutes later.
Yeah. Fran Drescher's lookalike is addressing the troops. Marco's having a realization that it's his mom... And he's kind of freaking out because he wants to go tackle hug her, probably. And maybe squeeze the yerk out of her head.
Now, let's say they were to get near her. Could Marco morph a yerk and shove the other yerk out the other ear?
Maybe.
Okay.
They haven't really established enough in the show for me to make a call one way or the other.
They established that you can get to the brain through the ear canal.
Yes, they did.
So, why not shove one out?
Yeah, well, fuck it. Why not?
Then the fat... henchman has to come tell Visor 3 that,
hey, we done fucked up. He's the one that lost the rock paper scissors tournament.
Yeah,
the other two scrambled for the escape pods.
Sir, we was eating a sandwich and they got away because we was not paying attention.
There's trouble down to the cement mixer, sir.
Our old sniff out. Geech. Our old smell
out. Geech going to heaven, Mr. Trewillager. But he actually speaks normally, but...
But he is fat.
They're all displeased. So the Vessers are understandably upset because the Andalite bandits have made off like bandits.
Like morphing bandits.
Yeah. It's almost as though they have a power to, you know, avoid detection and stuff. And maybe you should have sprinkled those sensors throughout the blade ship.
Or they said their most sensitive areas. Apparently their mothership is not the most sensitive area that they own.
No. Because how could an Andalite possibly get there?
I mean...
Except for you deliberately bringing them there.
And almost 12 people seem to work on this ship, so... I think we've got it covered.
This conquering army is a pretty small operation, even though they had a bucket full of 1,000 yerks a couple episodes ago.
And they're all dressed like janitors. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I forgot what we were talking
Who
about.
Who gives a fuck? I think we had finished what we were saying, probably.
Or there'll be a weird gap here, and I'll leave this portion in. There is some dog stuff that we cut, so if the sound's disjointed, that's why.
But if it doesn't, good for us.
Yeah, and I can cut this part.
Some dog stuff.
But V1 tells everybody, hey, V3 fucked up. Why don't you guys try and look for the the Andalite bandits.
Just a couple of bug bombs in case they're cockroaches. Like, it'll take care of things.
You'd think. Also, and maybe walk around with one of those morphing sensors.
Or just look around the room.
Or turn the fucking lights on. There's no... so poorly lit.
Perhaps this blade ship was designed for a different species they enslaved that didn't need light. Because they see in infrared or something.
Like the Predator?
Yeah. This is from when they took over the Predators, Sky. Remember that?
You think they would be much more efficient at hunting things, right? Then. But you'd be wrong.
Would a Predator be able to defeat a Horcabajor?
It depends on how well equipped it is.
I mean, it's the Predator.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Well, a lot of the Predator stuff is because of his cloaking device and his laser shoulder cannon. And his technologies.
I suppose so.
Because, I mean, they're very strong and ugly, but, like, he's also just got, like, tiny claws and not, like, the Maid of Blades Horcabajor.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, back on Earth, Rachel and Cassie are still crawling about in the air ducts.
Which has, like, a lobby.
There's a central hub for the air ducts. And you'd think that it'd be incredibly windy in there because...
Because
it's just a big, huge... ducts. Hole, you know, in a building where air is supposed to be funneled, but it's very quiet and no wind. I honestly forget what happens here.
I think they're
breaking the Bechdel test and asking about the guys and what's going on with them.
I think they're like, hey, we're gonna figure this out, but meanwhile, yeah. let's break some York shit, I guess.
I think they are planning to go back. They could have just crawled back from the grate from before to go smash the Cadrona, because that would be way easier, but whatevs. Meanwhile, back on the Yerk pool ship, V1 has her own room already?
Back on the Yerk pool ship, which is not that distinct from where the girls are in this EGS tower factory thing.
You're not wrong. But the boys have morphed. I was going to say molted. They've morphed into lizards because that's their go-to. And they're just hanging out on a ceiling tile made of, like, snow. I don't know what's happening.
It's probably snow.
But V1 is tending to some plants. She apparently keeps them there to soothe her host.
And she just straight up has a spray bottle. Nothing alien-y about it. Maybe it's sort of a steel, brushed steel gray, but that's... the most, like, outer spacey thing about it. Yeah, and I hate it. It's my least favorite part of the episode.
It's just a dimly lit room.
Yeah, how are all those fucking flowers growing? Like, there's no sunlight. There's literally no sunlight. They're in space, and there's no light bulbs for them to, like, have pretend sun. Everything is just poorly lit from the bottom. You know, like you want to do in a TV show.
That's right. But V3 wanders in. He's like, these plants are stupid and you're stupid for having them.
And she's like, aren't you an Andalite? Why are you dressed like a person all the time? Okay, she doesn't say that, but she should.
She should. I'm definitely thinking it. I don't know. They have this little repartee between the two of them. And V1 admits to being like the blue guy from Star Wars.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
She is getting familiar with the ways of the people. So she can more aptly subjugate them or whatever.
Yeah, because once you understand someone's flowers, you understand their ways.
That's right.
I'll never be taken over because I don't know anything about flowers, Sky. Unlike you.
But V3's policy is, I'll just murder everyone until I'm done. Which is a pretty good policy,
yeah,
except he's really bad at it.
Well, yeah, you got to be good at it if that's the thing you do.
That's his only skill in the book. He's not great at mediating or delegating. He just murders real good. That's how he got to be number three. The girls find their way back to the room with all the pipes and the Cadrona. And then we cut back to space where the boys find a dark room, which wasn't very hard, and demorph from lizards into boys. They don't make any attempt to, like, fit in or disguise themselves or stay in morph.
There were only 12 people on the ship.
Yeah. So it would be easy to knock two of them out and then morph those dudes.
Yeah, I guess
or
that's
ladies.
True. You don't even have to strip them naked because you can morph their clothes.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Because I can't imagine undressing an unconscious body is easy.
No, they're just dead weight and limp.
Yeah. I don't like undressing my conscious body every day. Hard.
They apparently didn't know where they were going, but they ended up in the blade ship, I guess?
They, yeah, I don't know. They ended up somewhere.
I don't know.
It's or they're going to go find the blade ship?
That could be the plan. There's nothing about this spaceship that makes any sense. There's
what are you
no
talking
people.
About?
There's no cameras. There's no light.
There's no OSHA. Like, all these fucking hanging cables. What is this about? Nothing is properly lit.
It's not great. That's all I'm saying.
Then they just walk into rooms and hope that no one's in them.
Yeah, they just fucking, like, it's not even a space door. It's a door they open with a hinge.
Right, yeah, it's like a bathroom door at a CD bar, like, that doesn't lock. So I guess they just found the blade ship.
Yeah,
they just
opened a random door and the motherfucking blade ship's in there.
Oh, let's take that.
And then Marco's like, I'm gonna go get my mom. And Jake says to him, and then what? Because that's as far as Marco planned.
Would you rather have your mom be a controller or dead? Because you could just morph a rattlesnake and bite her and let her die.
Yeah, I mean, that would be easier than having the entire Yurk army coming after her, which is what would happen if you abduct her.
Plus, you get to be a rattlesnake.
Marco does get a rattlesnake morph at some point.
I think that's true. I think it's on the cover of something, right?
It is.
Which book, Sky? Are you good that good?
No.
You
it's probably in the
bitch.
40s, though. But They go back and forth for a little bit, and eventually Marco wanders off in a direction. He doesn't know where the fuck he is or how to find his mom,
but he
or
knows
who's in between him and her.
He knows it's not the direction of the blade ship, and that's all he needs to know.
I guess. And then Jake, like, he tells Jake to leave without him. I'll totally understand. And then Jake just stands there and watches him walk away. Meanwhile, back on Earth, the girls also touch the tubes that are too cold, and they burn themselves on it, because apparently everyone has to do that.
This room that they keep coming back to, it's like when you're playing a video game and, like, you go to a room and you can see the thing that you need to get to, but you don't know how to get out and get to it. I'm really bad at video games, so I can very much relate. I can see what I need to do, but I don't know how to do it. And I feel like that's what's happening to these two girls.
Yeah, it's like being in Pokemon where you just need cut and you can't get past this teeny tiny tree.
Yeah. It's the fucking
worst.
What
if I just step over this?
What if I ride one of my flying Pokemon over this little bitty dead tree?
Or just kick it over.
You're right. I should never play Pokemon ever again. I hate it.
But Rachel finds a cabinet with a couple of monkey wrenches in it, and then she smiles at Cassie whilst holding them. And we cut back to space. Marco is still just wandering down a hallway, not trying to be inconspicuous at all. Just walking down the fucking middle.
You keep saying this, but it has been working.
I know, and it makes no sense. It makes me mad. And then Jake makes a noise because he's following Marco because he's not going to leave him behind because they're buddies.
If I was them, I'd morph kangaroos and just hop about because the first time anyone sees a kangaroo, it's got to be off-putting for just a second.
Because they're demons?
Yeah, and it gives you just enough time to, like, kill the person with your kangaroo-ness.
It's true. They are very dense creatures. So Jake and Marco are reunited. And we cut back to Earth where the girls have monkey wrenches and they're just smashing a thing.
Very quietly and subtly.
It's apparently the coolant system for the Kadrona.
Apparently. Doesn't quite make sense to me because she says this is cooling it, right? Because it's so hot and it's a small room. So then they bust it open and it sprays, like, coolant into the room.
Yes.
But wouldn't that just keep it cool?
I don't know.
I mean, unless it's pumping it into that next room where you can see the Kadrona. But they're still close enough that I don't think it's going to make a huge difference.
Well, no plan in the show has been well thought out, if you recall. Yeah, so they break the thing and the room fills with mist. Fills? Yes, I said it right. The room fills with mist. And then they just run out and stand there talking about it until somebody spots them and yells. And then they continue standing there for a little bit. And then these cartoon men chase after them.
Yeah. And then they kick open a door and then run a few feet away. And the men just follow the open door.
There
and
is
that works.
No way those men did not see those girls duck the other way. They were feet behind them.
Here's all of this is Visor 3's fault, Sky, and I'll tell you why. Because he's always in human morph. So all of the Yurks just assume that Andalites spend most of their time in human morph. So when they don't necessarily see these children's faces, but see them from a distance and see them as humans, they don't suspect that they're humans. They're just like, oh, there are those Andalites that are in human morph right now. So if Visor 3 spent any iota amount any amount of time as a Andalite, they would understand that an Andalite is faster and better than a human. But he's really fucked it for everyone.
He's really bad at his job.
But don't worry, we're really good at our job, you and I.
Yes.
At this.
Yay.
Watching this.
We cut back up to space. Jake and Marco are wandering through the tubes of a hallway. They're just dangling cords and shit. Marco's gonna find his mom, and Jake's just like, she's still a Yerk, dude. We need more plan than this. But then some more henchmen come over and hench at Jake and Marco.
And they see that they're humans, and it doesn't strike them as odd.
Not at all. But they do fire the Kadrona in this Dracon
beam.
They fire their Dracon beams in this enclosed area in space. I guess the phrase explosive decompression means nothing to them. But in fairness, the beam doesn't really shoot out. There's just tiny explosions.
Yeah,
so
it does little sparks off of the ceiling.
It might just be they're set on stun.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
They're not getting the full beam.
As
but,
to not blow anything. Because they do mention how they need the Andalites later to open that disc, so.
Right, but I don't think these dudes were thinking that, because that doesn't come up till later. But, luckily, all these dangling tubes and shit are just readily available, because I don't know who does it, but Jake or Marco pulls one of them down, and it starts shooting out mist.
It's gotta be Marco, because he's always making Star Wars references, and this is straight up Darth Vader on Bespin, fucking fighting Luke, chopping things up.
That could be. And also, he also can't stop pulling or touching tubes.
Yeah.
As we saw in the first episode.
He does look touching a tube.
But he pulls it down and he makes a cloud and it hides their escape, even though it's a hallway leading one direction.
Which way did they go?
But luckily it was the hallway that led directly to the blade ship. And the boys hop in there and they're like, let's fire this bitch up. And then it just does that. Apparently also, just so you know, the controls of the blade ship are a straight up mixing board.
Yeah, it's got one hell of a banging stereo on that blade ship.
Oh boy, maybe the Vessers are part time DJs.
That's the best.
I'm DJ V3.
Skrillex is a Yerk, and that's why he's a weirdo.
It all makes sense now. That's why it doesn't sound like human music to me.
No, that's because you're 100.
Yeah, that could be. But they just start pushing knobs and stuff, and nothing happens, and all of it's labeled in English.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the guards are just outside shooting it with their Dracon flashlights. I don't know why.
And then Marco says, green means go, and then pushes a random green button, because there are like five on that panel alone.
In that shot.
And it works!
And it fucking works! They get launched into space, and it doesn't suck the guards out into the vacuum of space. The cold, unrelenting vacuum of space.
Well, we don't see it. It might happen.
Now they're down to 8 controllers.
But now they're just pushing buttons and closing the window and shit on accident.
Yeah, and then there's this weird moment where it's like, we shut the windows, now we can fuck between the two of them. Because they're just like, yeah.
Yeah, I've decided Marco's got real good sexual tension with everyone. Marco just wants to fuck someone.
It's unsettling.
His dad, Jake, Rachel, anyone. Tobias.
We'll see him dance with Axe later.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But all of a sudden, the shit's fucked, and the thing starts going down,
And the mixing board,
it just goes
the dials
wacky.
Keep going up and down. This is the most next mutation this show has ever been, is the controls of this thing going wonky.
Well, there's a red flashing light, Jake. If that doesn't convey emergency, I don't know what does.
You're right.
But from the distance, we see the pool ship, and they've activated the autopilot. And it's,
I guess so.
It's vaguely drifting back to the pool ship. And we cut over inside the pool ship, where V1 and V3 are talking. And he's like, I'm just going to blow that thing up. And V1 says, no, I forbid anyone fire on that ship. She is just trying to sabotage him politically, I guess.
Well, she also says they need him to open that disc.
Oh, yeah. They have Elfangor's disc and they need an Andalite to do it.
Which
we know from before, it's DNA synced. We just don't know to which Andalite.
Which is bonkers, because that could be any Andalite, not just
one that's probably dead.
Yeah, you have 4 to work from that you know of. Maybe 5. I don't even think they know how many there are.
They don't. I don't think they've even really gotten a good look at any of them.
Definitely not as Andalites.
That is very true.
Just them from behind running as people.
But, so, all of a sudden, Axe is in the show, and we're at the barn. Apparently the girls escaped somehow. They don't actually tell us how. I guess they went through the grates.
Or through just the same fucking door they came in.
That could be. And Axe is like, oh, I could sense them or hear them?
No, he can hear Visor 3.
V3's talking to them. Okay. Yeah.
We weren't paying attention. I told you to stop texting while we were watching it.
I'll do what I want.
Visor 3 is yelling through ThoughtSpeak at Jake and Marco saying, you'll never get away, etc., etc. And Axe can hear it because he's broadcasting it everywhere.
Yeah. And Jesus Cassie's Christ. Like, can't you do that to them?
And he's like, no, I'm just a little pussy. I'm a little pussy.
Visor 3 can do it because he's an older boy.
He's a man. He's a Mandalite.
Can't believe it took us that long to get there.
Me too.
But the girls are like, yeah, just do that though. And Axe is like, okay. And then he does it. No problem. He doesn't have to build a thing. We're watching this. In a couple episodes ago, he built a fucking memory projector from scraps. And now he can't build a brain megaphone.
It's hard. E.T. did it.
But instead, he just sits down and thinks real hard. And it works. And the boys, like, are talking back to him, but he can't hear them because he's speaking telepathically, and they are not. He gives them... There's a bit that would have been a funnier joke, but the timing's a little off.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is actually the funniest thing in the whole thing, is he says, there's a red button, and he says, it's got a squiggle on it, and they say, okay, and they push it, and the lights go off, and then he says, don't push that, yeah, the lights will go off.
It's just a little too long, if it was quicker.
Yeah, it's a good joke in and of itself, but it needed a couple more run-throughs to be polished into something funny. But then he's like, he tells him to push the button under the squiggly line button, and it bonks out like this like tray with two buttons on it.
Yeah. One will bring them back to Earth, and one will bring them to the Yerkome world.
Those are the two coordinates that they set in the Blade ship.
Yeah. Why not the pool ship? And that's it.
They don't need to go to there.
And,
I guess.
And where on Earth? It's just Earth? That's a very broad spectrum, y'all.
I mean, that's better than no Earth, I guess, for them.
The moon?
I mean, I guess you gotta assume it's near where they live because that's where the invasion is happening.
I guess.
I mean, that's an assumption. But also, if you push, like, they make a big deal. I mean, if you push it and it doesn't take you to Earth, push the other button and the fucking ship will turn around.
Or it's not like it's gonna fucking explode or whatever. So...
Maybe it only has enough gas for one trip. You're going to Last Jedi this shit.
Also, Solo is about fuel.
It's not about fuel.
It's mostly about fuel. They talk about fuel more in the Solo than they do in the entire first six movies.
Yeah, but it's not about that.
It's what drives the plot.
Yeah, but it's about a young man's journey to find himself, Sky.
And fuel. He's finding fuel.
Just keep going.
The Yerks think that there are Andalites on this ship. And Andalites are pretty tech savvy. Why didn't they, they don't do a tractor beam or, like, override the controls. They just let these kids press the fucking button.
Right? Because, like, a baby Andalite knew how to do it.
Yeah. It wasn't well hit. Everything was written in English somehow.
Except for the squiggly line button.
That's true.
That was just, had a squiggle drawn on a magic marker.
But, like... They had no safeguard for this. The Andalites somehow were able to override with the protocol with the single button press.
Yep.
And instead of just blowing it up, they're just like, well, I guess we lost the Blade ship.
They call it someone says a Blade ship, too. I thought there was only the one.
There in the books, there's only the one.
But someone refers to it as a Blade ship.
Well, there's no way the script got a second pass, so. But V1 is touching her flowers and stuff. I don't know. She looks menacingly at them, and then we cut back to the barn. Cassie and Rachel and Axe say that it's been hours, and Axe is still in morph, so I guess he's trapped as a human now.
Or, I mean, he very well could have just unmorphed and remorphed.
Nah. He's always a person. And then Marco and Jake just stumble in, covered in goo. They wandered onto the wrong set and got Nickelodeon gacked, and then they came on to this one. I guess they crashed in a pond. They don't address it.
Sky. This is filmed in Canada. All that Nickelodeon shit happened in Universal Studios Orlando.
They got space gacked.
Oh, okay.
They're like, yeah, we flew a thing and then we crashed. I guess that's all that needs to be explained.
They're like, cool, I guess.
So, like Cassie, where's the spaceship that we could use to prove the alien presence?
Right?
Guys?
Just leave that somewhere where someone can find it, please.
Why don't you just fly it somewhere, like to the White House?
Well, they didn't know how to fly it, you see.
Well, sure.
They had that one button.
But now they got the alien kid who can, probably. The girls go to get the guy's towels, because they're moist still.
No, they're going to get him clean clothes, but... I don't know whose clothes she's getting. Her dad's clothes?
I guess.
Her clothes?
I don't know. And there's a weird moment with X where he gently touches Jake's arm and then walks away. And then Marco and Jake have a little thing where Marco's like, don't tell them about my mom, please. Sean Ashmore just towers over Marco. I really wish that he'd just lean in and kiss him on the forehead. Be like, it'll be okay, buddy.
It's because everyone wants to kiss Marco.
On the forehead.
Including you.
Well, his hair's always slicked back, so his forehead's all exposed.
It's true.
We want to kiss
it's primed for kissing.
We cut to the next day, and Marco's home, and his dad is leading him around.
Presumably the next day. Who knows how long they were in space?
Well, he's at least had a shower, and it was darkish, which means nothing. But I guess they painted the wall, or he painted while Marco was in space.
Yeah, like, it was supposed to be their dad's son thing, and
here's,
just went
here's
ahead
what
and
it
did
is
it.
Time is relative while he was flying in space, so it's like next week.
Yeah, that's
he's
what
been,
I'm saying
he's been missing for 7 days.
Space.
But instead of painting over the hand turkey, Marco's dad just put a frame around it,
which is cool and all, but when they started painting, Marco was just randomly painting and ready to paint over that bird. So
it's
if that was a
off.
Surprise, yeah, it's a good thing he didn't finish, because...
How could it not have been a surprise? His dad let him in with his hand over his eyes, sort of.
No, I meant if that was the surprise from the get-go.
Oh.
He was gonna, like, Marco was gonna paint over it.
That could be why it's not centered in the frame.
Marco
Because he got too close.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because it being not centered really upset me. So...
And explain that to your landlord when you finally move out.
So dad dips. We don't know. He just kind of leaves the room, and then the other Animorphs are at the door. Because remember how he said half a riddle earlier? They're like, hey, finish the riddle. And then they just stand there awkwardly giggling until the show ends.
Yeah, they giggle like fucking you got real high and said tit mouth. Yeah, like that.
I'm going to do a thing. Okay, Google, what's the difference between a horse and a fish?
Sky, I have a Google Home Mini. Oh, you're asking it.
Yeah.
I thought you were asking your phone.
I was, and then I remembered you had a thing. So Google doesn't understand it, so I'm going to say that's nothing.
It's not a real riddle. I refuse to believe it.
Or it's not worth remembering. So that's that episode. Marco and Jake are fine, despite all odds, including a fucking space crash. And there's just a ship somewhere now? I guess? So that's neat.
Yeah, the typing it into the internet also doesn't have an answer to the... What's the difference between a piano and a fish, Sky?
Strings.
You can tune a piano, but you can't
tune
a fish. Boop.
The crowd goes wild. So, Jake.
What up?
What was the most turtle-rific part of this
I got
episode?
A lot of non-turtle-rific parts of this episode. I don't know about a turtle-rific part. I'm going to go with that joke that was almost good. The squiggly line light turn-off joke.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It was so close
was just,
to being good.
If it was just delivered a little bit better, I guess he's an alien, so he gets a pass. But still, if it was just a little bit faster.
It's not on any of the actors or even the writing at this point. It's purely editing.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been edited so much tighter to make that pretty funny.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it just needed to be faster.
I'm well aware, Sky.
And it would have landed.
Some of us are semi-professional comedians.
Yeah, like me.
God damn it, get out of the house.
It's easy to be semi-professional, Jake.
Anyway, what do you think is turtle-rific, you ass munch?
I enjoy Vesser One's hairstyle. She
it's
looks like a discount Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
It's pretty fetching.
It was the style at the time.
I also enjoy her space flowers that can grow in the absence of light.
Right? Like, I think we know for a fact that you can grow things in space with the right lighting and gravity. And
well, like, gravity is... not as important, but light makes sure that they don't die. And they just need carbon dioxide and light,
Sky,
and probably some water.
Here's my question for you. So this is... Earth is not the first planet, and the humans are not the first race that the Yurks have invaded.
Correct.
Do you think that they're so bad at it because they all the good Yurks have already been used up? Like, they're in the off on the Hork Bajor world or the Taxon world or whatever countless worlds they've already taken over. And then so they're like, well, these Yurks don't have anywhere to go yet. Let's put this guy who's really in the grand scheme of thing, like 7 billionth down from the top. She's the best that of the human level host controllers.
So what you're saying is Earth is the dunce planet?
Yeah, where like all the dum-dums. Where all the dum-dums like, get sent. They're like, hey, dum-dums, maybe if you want to walk around, you can go ahead and conquer this planet. We don't need it. They're soft. They're doughy. They bring nothing to the table.
They're very squishy.
But if you guys want to go there and you want to...
Their bodies are constantly leaking fluids.
Yeah. If you want to have to wear shoes every time you walk somewhere, go ahead and take over this planet by all means. And so you get a dum-dum leader like Visor 3 and all of these really dumb guys who don't realize that Animorphs are
probably people. These kids we keep seeing.
Yeah.
By now they recognize the backs of their heads, right?
They should!
I mean, that, in the context of this show, that makes the most sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, because in the books they're like, there's a lot of these guys and maybe there's no natural, you know, weapons, but they reproduce quickly and there's a lot of them. And they can pick up heavy stuff sometimes.
So, and we can't even pick anything that heavy up, really.
Well, I mean, it depends.
I mean, I can.
As you do it semi-professionally.
It's true.
Who would you say is the most effective or likable character?
I'm still going to go with Marco's dad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Marco's formerly sad dad?
Yeah. And now he's all excited, just slapping frames on the wall. He's real hip.
He's the original hipster.
He is. Jeremy, the original hipster.
I'm going to give it to X, because he's like, I don't think I can do that thing. I'm not old enough.
But
then
he
did it.
But then he learned, and he became a Mandalite in this moment. He had his Andalite bat mitzvah.
Bat mitzvah's for ladies.
Not when you're an Andalite.
Fair enough.
Bat mitzvah's more fun to say.
Awesome. I'm sorry. Mandalite really tickles me. That's really,
really
good.
Funny. I don't know why it took us so long to say Mandalite.
I don't know. We made it through an entire first season and three into this one.
It's good.
We're going to run out of episodes, so we have to cram it in as much as possible.
At least make it the title of this episode.
Oh, there's nothing else it could
be. It's raining Mandalites.
They did fall from the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So what was your pop culture palate cleanser
for
this week?
Any day we record, I spend the day like fretting about what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I was like, shit, what did I do? What did I do?
I have to like backtrack. Yeah, just like that. I'm like, I didn't do anything. And then I'm like, oh, I did lots of nothing, which is me doing nothing important, obviously.
Right.
I saw Solo again today, which I just wanted to say one more time because there's no way it's gonna be in theaters much longer. But what did I watch? What's that show called? The Toys That Made Us came back.
Oh.
So yeah. I watched the first of four episodes of that.
The docuseries?
Yeah. Star Trek and then Transformers, which I recommend the Transformers one. It's really good.
Yeah.
Did you watch season one?
I did not. It's in my queue, but like most things in my queue, it's just been sitting there for a real long time.
It's good, but the He-Man episode is the best, the Master of the Universe episode. The Star Wars one is woefully, it's only an hour, so they miss a lot.
There's a lot of Star Wars to talk about.
Watch the documentary Plastic Galaxy if you want a good Star Wars.
If they do a Ninja Turtles, you know I'll be on top of that.
I think that's in the plans
for
the next group of...
Because that was quite the worldwide sensation for
and
quite a long time.
Lego was the one I just watched before you came over. That was pretty interesting. I didn't know anything about Legos. I mean, other
comparatively.
Than what they are. Yeah. Like, I didn't know how many times Lego almost went bankrupt. Mostly because they were like, hey, we got the license to Star Wars, and then didn't make enough when The Phantom Menace came out. And then they made a shitload the next year, but there was no movie to back it up, so no one bought anything.
Right.
It was, and then in 2000, I think, 3 or 4, it was 2003 into 2004, they had the license for Star Wars and Harry Potter. And everything was looking up, and then there was neither of those movies for like a year and a half, so it really did them in. It was a good time. The last one's Hello Kitty, and I'm not super looking forward to that one. I'll watch it. Maybe I'll learn something. But
I'm sure there's some interesting factoids in there.
Yeah, Transformers was really good. You should watch that. And then I watched something else. What was it? Maybe I didn't. We watched The Incredibles last night because Incredibles 2 is coming out.
Which I'm super excited
that's
about.
That's pretty good. Queer Eye Season 2 came out yesterday, so Katie and I will... What?
I went like this, but you didn't notice.
What? No, I noticed. Why'd you do that?
Oh, you're just talking a lot.
I got a lot of things I did. I gotta get this garbage out of my mouth. It's a palate cleanser. Also, I didn't go to work today, so I did a lot of stuff today.
And you haven't talked to many people. That's why you're so talky.
Yeah. Katie doesn't give a fuck about the toys that made us. But Katie and I will be watching Season 2 of Queer Eye, and I'm very excited. But we won't binge it. We'll spread it out because it's too good to watch all at once. All right, I'm done now, you stupid ass hat. It's your turn. Cleanse your thing.
Well, today is Friday. We're recording on a Friday. So there's BattleBots right now, so I can't talk about BattleBots.
If only I got that channel.
Yeah. But
I bet we could find it.
I'm just going to go ahead and say BattleBots is great. You should watch it.
Yeah, it probably was pretty good.
I mean, they're robots and they smash each other. It's real fun. They're, I watched a Netflix original series called The Hollow. I had heard nothing about it, and then Netflix was like, hey, watch this. And it's a cartoon, so I was already intrigued. And it was really rad, actually. Are you familiar at all with Gravity Falls?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean,
who else would I be talking to? the dog?
You were, like... It looked like you were really intimate with that microphone.
I have to get up all on it.
Yeah, you do.
Otherwise, my voice doesn't get picked up. I speak very quietly.
Any Gravity Falls I've watched with you when you lived here.
Okay.
A lot. I've seen some of it, and I've seen the last episode.
Fair enough. Well, do you remember the show Mighty Max?
Yes.
Okay. Well, The Hollow kind of combines Mighty Max with Gravity Falls and sprinkles in a little bit of My Hero Academia. Because these kids wake up in a bunker, and they're like, I don't remember anything. And all of a sudden, they have superpowers, and they get teleported to different dimensions and stuff. Or what seems like different dimensions.
Is there a rooster that wears a robe?
There is not.
Oh, then it's not Mighty Max enough for me.
No. But there are, they mostly portal hop, is the Mighty Max connection.
Through a hat?
No, there's a guy who pops up, and he has a scarf.
Do you still have all your Mighty Max?
I have some of them.
I don't think I have any of my Mighty Max. I had some good Mighty Max stuff.
Yeah. There was that Skull Cat or a volcano, and then the Island.
We had the volcano. We didn't have the island.
Ah, man. That volcano was awesome.
It was cool as fuck.
Remember when toys had a whole bunch of detail in them?
And,
the Ninja Turtle action figures back in the day had so much sculpting detail.
That's basically what the Toys That Made Us is about. You should really watch it.
But, like, the new, 2012 series toys were very... lacking in detail.
Yeah, they crank them out. They cranked them out real fast back then.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. They cranked them out faster back then. Yeah, I don't know. Now it's because they have the kids will buy. You know, as long as it's a turtle, the kids don't care about the sculpting. And then you make a highly sculpted, highly detailed one. You can charge more for people like you who are going to collect it. They've realized. You can separate those two markets and make more money. You can make twice as much money by selling to both markets instead of the two together. That's why the Star Wars line has the real simple figures that only have 5-6 points of articulation. And then they've got their vintage line now that they started back up that has more articulation, has more detail.
What a bunch of asshats.
I know. I mean, we let them do it.
I guess.
We let them into our lives.
I'm excited about, was it Hasbro has Power Rangers now?
Yes.
Because they might put out some pretty neat stuff. Because it's been a bit since there's been a real good Power Rangers toy.
Have you been to Target? They are releasing a lot of...
I think they're like legacy figures?
Yeah, and like just a lot of the straight up stuff that we used to have. Like, you know the ones with their heads that flip?
Yes, I did see those.
Yeah, it's like the old packaging and then they just wrap a new package around it. Which is nice so you can take the new package off and look. I don't know if it's leftover, if they remade them or whatever.
Probably a little bit.
That's like Toys R Us did with those turtles in the classic turtles that they re-released on the cards.
Yeah.
I kind of regret not buying at least the four turtles on the cards.
You only bought Donatello.
I have Raphael.
Raphael?
Oh. Yeah. And I took him off the card. But those cards are really cool.
Yeah, they are.
But they're really expensive on eBay now, so I'm never going to have them. And Toys R Us doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But yeah, The Hollow is really good.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I watched the whole thing, and it ended in a very different way than what I had thought it would be, but it's worth a watch. I mostly like the idea of just waking up and having superpowers.
Yeah, that is literally all you've wished for since I've known you.
Yep. I talk about it every day.
Do you check every day, just in case?
How do you think I got all these scars?
I check at least once a week to make sure I don't have claws like Wolverine, just in case.
Which muscles are you flexing?
I do this.
Oh, okay.
I push from right here. I imagine that's the muscle that you'd have to use to extend your claws.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Squeeze your hands like a kitty cat,
in
case.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work, ever. And if it so did, far. I would probably end up stabbing myself or something.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. One of my most irrational fears is all of my friends will get superpowers, but I'll get left out.
Oh, I mean, if that happens, I'll accidentally kill you real fast. You won't be that sad that long.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
The speed with which I would become corrupt if I had any sort of power is ridiculous and unimaginable. Maybe I've said it on this podcast before. I'm sure I've said it to you before.
Oh, you've said it to me many times.
I would use it for evil so fast. I might use it for good on the side so like people think that I'm a good person, but I would rob banks. I would kill my enemies from as far away as I could.
It would depend on what power set you get, though.
If I had telekinesis, I've already planned it all out.
I know. You've told me before.
Just push in their brain.
What if instead you got frog powers?
Like
Toad.
So I can't slime people from a distance?
Right.
Am I like Thor frog? Frog?
No, you don't have a thunder hammer.
Or a little hat.
You can jump real high. You got an extendo tongue, and you can stick to walls.
Well, I definitely would use my tongue to steal ice creams from little kids.
You don't want little kid ice creams. Yeah, little kids are gross.
And they never get big ones. Like, they're always teensy.
Well, because they're little.
They're just plain vanilla.
And they're likely to drop it, so their parents don't want to spend the money.
That's true. I would probably just use my jumping powers to, like, place bets and be like, I bet I can jump up there and touch that.
Fair enough.
What was the other one? There's another power. You can eat bugs or something.
Extendo tongue, jump, and you can stick to walls.
Oh, stick to wall. I mean, you know, I would have saved that raccoon. Did you see that raccoon?
No. The one that climbed up a building?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like outside. I was like,
no,
I didn't
not right now.
See a fucking raccoon.
The one you that got climbed raccoons? Up that building. There was a kitty cat outside last night, Sky. I could hear it, but I couldn't find it.
Nah.
It was dark, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. And I wanted to go to bed. That got off track fast.
Yep.
I like it.
We always do.
Mandalay.
But, but yeah, so I think that'll do it for this week. You can follow the show at Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end. You can email the show at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can rate, subscribe, whatever podcatcher you do that at. If you could, that'd be marvelous. I think we only have two still. I checked Podknife and there weren't any at all. But we're on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the other ones.
Whatever website our thing is at or whatever, my brother said it's very hard to scroll down on his phone. And I was like, we have a website?
It's where I host our stuff.
But yeah.
If he used a podcatcher, he would be able to.
You explain that to him. I told him to talk to you.
What kind of app is he using?
I don't know.
What kind of phone does he have?
He has an Android of some kind. Okay, then he's probably going to the webpage and streaming it from there like an insane person.
Probably.
He's using our SoundCloud.
But yeah, you can follow me. I'm at Sandwich Surplus.
I'm at Midwest Love Affair.
And we will see you guys next week with whatever the next episode is. I didn't look.
It's bound to be something.
Probably the next one in line.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. This has been all wonky.
Yeah.
But we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. We love you.
Mandalite.
Mandalite. Mandalite. Five whole minutes of nudity. I don't have anywhere to be. Take your time. Katie saw Rent and it just started, so we've got like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Where is the rent? I must have the rent. Dollars, dimes, and nickels. I need them all right now.
I don't get that play where they have no legal claim to the building they're in, but they're still like, I'm not going to pay rent, so fuck off.
So I don't know. I haven't
get to do that, man.
I actually haven't seen it.
That's as much as I saw, and then I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Do you need to go outside?
Only when we're recording.
Okay. Well, at least you have it paused.